The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter number 24, text number 75, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on October 28th, 2008, in Kaunas, Lithuania.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 24th chapter, text number 75. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Shreyasam iha sarvesham. Jnanam nishyasam param. Sukham tarati dushparam. Jnananavyasanarnavam. Translation and purport by the Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. In this material world, there are different kinds of achievement. But of all of them, the achievement of knowledge is considered to be the highest, because one can cross the ocean of nescience only on the boat of knowledge. Otherwise, the ocean is impassable. Purport. Actually, everyone is suffering within this material world due to ignorance. Every day we see that a person without knowledge commits some criminal act and is later arrested and punished, despite the fact that he actually may not have been conscious of his sinful activity. Such ignorance prevails throughout the world. People do not consider how they are risking their lives in an attempt to have illicit sex life, kill animals to satisfy their tongue, enjoy intoxication, and gamble. It is very regrettable that the leaders of the world do not know of the effects of these sinful activities. They are instead taking things very easily and are succeeding in making the ocean of nescience wider and wider. Opposing such ignorance, full knowledge is the greatest achievement within this material world. We can see practically that one who has sufficient knowledge is saved from many dangerous pitfalls in life. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 7.19, Bhuhunam janmanamante jnanavang mag prapadyate. When one actually becomes wise, he surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva sarvamati sa mahatma sudurlabha. Such a great soul is very rarely to be found. This Krishna consciousness movement is determined to open wide the eyes of the so-called leaders who are full of ignorance and thus save them from the many pitfalls and dangerous conditions of life. The greatest danger is the danger of getting a body lower than that of a human being. It was with great difficulty that we attained this human form of life, just to take advantage of this body and reestablish our relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda. Lord Shiva advises, however, that those who take advantage of his prayers will very soon become devotees of Lord Vasudeva and thus will be able to cross over the ocean of nescience and make life perfect.
Shri Guru, Shri Jata, Barakamalam, Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha, Shri Rupa, Sagra Jatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Purijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha.
So, what is the point? The point is, this is a miserable place. But with knowledge, you can become free from the misery. Of course, that knowledge has to also be applied knowledge. Not simply theoretical knowledge. There is gyan and there is vigyan. Theoretical knowledge is called jnana. And when that knowledge is practically applied, that is called vigyana. So, the knowledge that will take you beyond the ocean of nescience is the knowledge properly understood and properly applied. It has to be properly understood, I mean to say. You must properly understand it if you're going to properly apply it. If a chemistry student says, I find the lectures boring, I want to go straight to the laboratory. What will happen when he gets to the laboratory? He will cause an explosion. So you have to know what you're doing, you see, in order to do it properly. So therefore, jnana is very important. We must have proper understanding of the science of bhakti. And then with this proper understanding, we should then apply it sincerely and expertly. So, in this way, we will in fact cross this ocean of nescience. There's another nice verse in this connection which we oftentimes recite. Samashritaye palapallava plavam mahatpudang punya jasho murare Bhavam vadir vatsa parang parang padam 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 yandra padam nate sham. Very nice poetry. One who takes shelter of the boat at the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. Who is known as the shelter of the cosmic manifestation. And as the killer of the Mura demon. For him, this vast, insurmountable ocean of material existence becomes reduced down to the amount of water within a hoof print of a calf. So the destination of such a person who has taken shelter of Krishna's lotus feet is the Param Padam, the Vaikuntha world. Not this material world where there is danger at every step. That person is traveling back to home, back to Godhead. How long of a journey is it? Well, it's this big of a journey. Sometimes we think, well, it's such a long and arduous pathway back to home, back to Godhead. You know what that means, if we're thinking like that? It means we really haven't taken shelter of Krishna yet. Because as soon as you take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, you're already back to Godhead. Actually. We are not feeling ourselves back to Godhead because we have not yet fully taken shelter of Krishna. That's all. As soon as you take shelter of Krishna, then back to home, back to God, it becomes that far away. It's very close, you see, not far. So, how do we do this then? How do we take shelter of Krishna? This is a very important thing. One of our readers on our e-course, he complained to me that, oh, Krishna is contradicting himself. Of course, I told him, this is very offensive. You shouldn't speak like that. It shows your ignorance. Krishna never contradicts himself. It is simply our own lack of understanding, that's all. This person thought he had detected a contradiction in Krishna's teachings. And he is reporting to me Krishna's contradiction. He pointed out to me in the Adi Purana, Krishna says, Ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhaktas chate janaha. Mad bhaktanam che ye bhaktash te me bhakta tamamata. Which means, the one who is my devotee is not my devotee. But the one who is the devotee of my devotee, he is my actual devotee. That's what Krishna says in the Adi Purana. And then in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, give up everything else and just surrender to me. So this person very proudly thought he had found a fault in Krishna. That here he is saying, surrender to me. And over here he's saying, surrender to my devotee. Ah, I caught a fault in the Lord. What a stupid thing, you see. He didn't have the brain to understand the means of surrendering to the Lord is to surrender to the devotee. Because he didn't want to surrender, therefore he's finding fault with Krishna's teaching. For one who is actually surrendering to Krishna, everything makes sense, you see. For one who is not surrendered to Krishna, he will find so many faults. Just like one time, there was, I think it was Narada Muni, he was going back, he was going to see Lord Narayan. So, there were two persons, and they asked him, well, ask Lord ask Lord Narayan how soon I will be delivered. So, Narada Muni went to the spiritual world, he has the power to do that. And there was a cobbler and there was a Smarta Brahmin. Smarta Brahmin and a cobbler, one who makes with the shoes out of leather. Now in the Vedic culture, they don't kill the cows for the shoes. They take the cows that die naturally, and they make the cow and the shoes from them. So anyway, Narada Muni asked Lord Narayan, when will the Smarta Brahman and the cobbler become delivered? Lord Narayan said, well, the cobbler will be delivered immediately at the end of this lifetime. But for the Smarta Brahman, it will take millions and millions of births before he's delivered. And if they ask you what I'm doing, this is what you should tell them. Tell them I'm threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. So Narada Muni went back down to the earthly realm. The land of the mortals, Bharcha Loka. And he came to the cobbler and the Brahmin, and cobbler said, well, how soon will I be delivered? He said, you'll be delivered immediately. And he told the Smarta Brahmin, you will not be delivered for millions and millions of births. And the Smarta Brahman couldn't understand. He was very disturbed. He thought he was very advanced in following the Vedic principles. So he said, by the way, what was Lord Narayan doing anyway when you saw him? He said, oh, he was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. And the cobbler said, oh, this is so wonderful. My lord is threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. The Smarta Brahman said, oh, that's not possible. That you must be lying. According to the Shastras, that's not possible that Lord Narayan could be threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. Where is that confirmed in the Shastras that Lord Narayan threads an elephant through the eye of a needle? So in this way, the Narada Muni could understand that the cobbler had great faith. Even though he was a simpler cobbler, he was not so advanced in knowing so many mantras, you see, and so many Vedic scriptures. He had complete faith. You see. Whereas the Smarta Brahman, he was full of skepticism and doubt. So Narada Muni was curious. Well, he was really impressed with this cobbler. How is it that you have such great faith? He said. The Lord Narayan could thread an elephant through the eye of a needle. I mean, it seems inconceivable. How do you get such faith that that could be done? He said, why not? You see this banyan tree here, this huge banyan tree? It came out of a little tiny seed. If Lord Narayan can bring a huge banyan tree out of this little tiny seed, And from this banyan tree, thousands of more banyan trees can be produced. Then what is the difficulty of threading an eye through the eye, telling an elephant, threading an elephant through the eye of a needle? What is the problem? So those persons who want to find fault in the Lord, you see, they are condemned to rot in the cycle of birth and death. Some go so far as to say there is no God. They are atheists. They say God is a myth. Even so-called Vedic scholars, Sanskrit scholars, they say that God is a myth. There's one famous philosopher, his name was Nietzsche. He was from Europe. I don't think he was from Lithuania, but he was from Europe. Nietzsche said, God is dead. So someone made a little cartoon. It showed God, but he was saying, Nietzsche is dead. So they made it clear that God is dead. But Krishna says, Mrityu sarvat shahas chaham. Mrityu sarva harash chaham. I am all devouring death. So they may very proudly say there is no God. Or they may proudly say that I am God, you're God, we're all God. Mayavadi philosophy. But they will all be devoured by death. That's a fact. So, the devotee, he is intelligent. Since everybody is forced to bow down to God, you see. The time of death, everyone offers dandavats. Like it or not, you offer your dandavats, you see. So since you're going to offer dandavats to the Lord anyway, why not do it voluntarily instead of by force? And get the benefit of being a devotee and going back to Godhead. But these rascals who defy the authority of God, they take birth after birth after birth after birth in this rotten place. So this is actual intelligence. You come before the deities of Shishi Radharamara, Shishi Gornitai. Humbly offer your obeisance at their lotus feet, you see. Develop this mood of always bowing down to Krishna. Always bowing down to the spiritual master. And always bowing down to Vaishnavas. Develop this mood. And at the time of death, you'll be guaranteed entrance into the transcendental kingdom of God. Never to take birth again here. You will wake up to your transcendental nature beyond your body and beyond your mind. This is the most sublime process. Krishna consciousness, lovingly given to us by the greatest spiritual master of the modern age, His Divine Grace, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Pariva Jakracharja Astatarazadashi Shimad Esi Bhakti Vedanta Tri Dandi Go Shami Maharaj Prabhupada. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for your mercy. You are saving us, Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much. So now I can ask if there's any questions. Yeah.
Can you please define what means to surrender to Krishna?
Yes. Surrender to Krishna means to see that everything is the property of the Lord. And use everything in His service. Not a pinch for your sense gratification. That is surrender. So are you ready to do that? Give up sense gratification once and for all. Become fully fixed in pure Krishna bhakti. You ready to do that? Or do you want to loiter in the cycle of birth and death? What is your answer?
I do not want to loiter.
Huh? You don't want to?
I do not want to loiter in this
one. Oh, that's good. So your only option is to surrender to Krishna? To see everything as His energy and use everything in His service. Mind, body, words, wealth, intelligence, everything for Krishna.
It is said that one should not see no fault in one's spiritual master.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it is said that one should use his intelligence. And for example, the disciple may not see the fault, but for example, the spiritual master's god brothers see some fault in him. So how for a disciple to overcome that fault seeing?
Well, Prabhupada's god brothers found fault with him. Was that Prabhupada's fault or was it their fault? Actually, Prabhupada wrote one of my god brothers. He showed me the letter he got when he got it from Prabhupada. He said, "Srila Prabhupada, my god brothers always find fault with me. What to do?" And Prabhupada said, "You have to be tolerant. You have to be callous." He said, I had the same experience with my god brothers. So, just because the god brothers are finding fault with your spiritual master doesn't mean that your spiritual master is at fault. It could mean that his god brothers are simply envious because he's such an advanced devotee. That was the case with Prabhupada. So, why would you accept a spiritual master who has faults? You should find a spiritual master who is faultless. Become his disciple. Then you won't have to worry about finding faults with your spiritual master. Next question.
Srila Gurudev, as far as these contradiction statements are concerned, some devotees say that Srila Prabhupada says that the soul does not fall from the spiritual world. So they say that soul comes from somewhere else or something.
Yeah.
So how to understand this?
One has to take all of Prabhupada's statements in full, not you take one statement and leave the other ones. You have to accept all of the statements. We see that some devotees who are not pure devotees, but who are Jnana Mishra devotees, they want to take one point that Prabhupada has spoken, and they want to use that to defeat the other points that Prabhupada has spoken. This is a material mentality, and it is detrimental for one's spiritual progress. It's an offense against Srila Prabhupada. It's not very intelligent also. One has to accept in full all of the statements given by Srila Prabhupada with the same faith the cobbler had. And then you will see how all the statements fit together, and they don't really contradict each other. It's a fact, in one sense, we don't really fall down from the spiritual world, in one sense. We just think that we do. We're just dreaming. This is a dream we're in right now, actually. It's a dream state. The actual fact is we're eternally liberated souls in the pastimes of Krishna. So we don't really, in one sense, we don't really even fall down, really. We simply imagine ourselves to be in this position, that's all. Prabhupada points this out. You're not really that body. But you think you are. And that's the cause of that is your fall down. But you're not really this body like you think you are. So our fall down is, there's many different angles of understanding this point, but this is clear, an easy way to understand. Prabhupada explains the actual position of every living entity is he is Nitya Siddha. But he enters into this dream state, becomes Nitya Bada. So, Prabhupada never actually, even though it may appear to less intelligent or to envious people that Prabhupada contradicts himself. If you take all the statements as a whole, you have a broad understanding, and then you see how they all fit together perfectly. This is why we have our Bhakti Shastri program, that every devotee should be well read in all of the teachings, you see. Not that you take one statement out of context of all the other statements. Every statement should be taken in the context of all the other statements. Prabhupada says there's no, you cannot measure when you entered into this material world. You cannot you cannot trace out when you entered this material world. That actually means that the spiritual world is a timeless world. So, there is no time, since there is no time in the spiritual world, there was no time when you left it. And since here you are in the material world, there was no time when you left the spiritual world, therefore you're eternally conditioned. And when you go back to Godhead, Since that world is the world of timelessness, there'll be no time when you entered it. That means you were always there. And you never fell down. So you're called eternally liberated. It's hard for us to conceive of these things. Because right now we're stuck and conditioned by the time and space dimension. Timelessness is inconceivable for us. Timelessness is inconceivable. The only way you can really understand is to experience it. You have to awaken the pure Krishna Bhakti in your heart, and then you will re-enter into the world of timelessness. Actually, for one who takes his initiation vows very seriously, timelessness begins at the very moment of initiation. One enters into timelessness at the moment of his diksha. If he accepts the orders of his spiritual master as his life and soul and never deviates, he became liberated from the very moment of initiation. Therefore, we are training you all. Whatever vows you have taken initiation, you must strictly follow those vows throughout the entire life. Do not deviate. Any other question?
What is the human will and how did...
What is the what?
Will.
Will?
Yeah, and how did God created it?
Yes. What is free will and how did God create us? Krishna doesn't require any manufacturing plant. Like when they make automobiles, you know. To manufacture human beings. He doesn't require a manufacturing plant. We exist simply by Krishna's desire that we exist. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. And the more you have people to associate with, the more you can have loving relationships, the more your enjoyment increases. Isn't it a fact? Just like Mataji and I are traveling all over the world, and we have so many loving relationships with so many people in so many places all over the world, and it's so wonderful. Especially here in Lithuania. You're the most loving people. So the more there is loving relationships, the more it becomes very, very sweet, you see. So Krishna, he is the master of sweetness. So he expands from himself an unlimited number of jivas so he can have loving relationships with each and every one of them. Now let me ask you this. If you have a robot, can you have a loving relationship with your robot? It's not possible, yeah. In order for a loving relationship, there has to be free will. So because Krishna wants to have loving relationship with you, he gives you the free will to either love him or to leave him. So now it's up to you what you will do. You left him, now you have a choice. You can go back if you want. There was one other hand up, and that would be it. Who had the other hand up? You had a hand up. This is the last question. Okay.
Sakykit, visi žinom apie tas penkias grubesias, reiškia, fizinės jūslės, reiškia, rega, klausa, uslė, skonis ir lėtėjimas. Ar trumpai galėtumėt, reiškia, paaiškinti, kaip bhakti jogai teisingai išnaudoti tas, reiškia, transcendentinės jūslės, tai reiškia, protą, intelektą ir samoningumą, reiškia, kuo naudingiau.
Shishi Gonitai ki jai, Shishi Radhadamadar ki jai.
Everybody knows about the five gross senses we have, taste and
The five knowledge-acquiring senses?
We have these gross senses. But we also have transcendental senses like mind and intelligence and our how to use...
How to use them?
How to use them in the whole... In the best way.
Yes. By engaging them in Krishna consciousness. Bhajahure mana Srinanda Nandana Abhayachara Nara Vindure. Govindadasi is praying, he is telling his own mind. He is saying, my dear mind, now you simply engage yourself in the devotional service of the divine son of Nanda Maharaj. So you think about Krishna. How one of you think of Krishna's wonderful name, his fame, his form, his pastimes, his entourage, his paraphernalia, his teachings, his transcendental abode. In this way, always think about Krishna and his various aspects. Then use your intelligence to understand the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, these subtle senses, the mind and the intelligence, they will be purified by Krishna consciousness. All right, we'll stop here. Gandharad Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
His great Shriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari Maharaj ki
jai.
Thank you very much.